Are we ready?
Are we recording?
Good.
Because when I have my own album, finally, I can finally tell people what I want. What I really want. I want to open up my own chain of Mexican restaurants called Baja Not So Fresh that focus on frozen Mexican food and employees never washing their hands. I want to open up my own vein of Hexican restaurants called Blaja Nazo Sesh. It'll smoke us on Nazo Sesh Schmood and the employees never snowering. I want to travel the world in a 1,000-wheel drive that sucks 150 gallons of gasoline every 3 feet. I want to take that 1,000-wheel drive and talk indigenous people out of using their own language and only talk in English slogans and slang. And if they don't agree right away, I'll try to confuse them and teach them to swear wrong. For fuck, I tell them to say umbrella. For piss, I tell them end table. For umbrella, I tell them to say underwater pants. For underwater pants, I tell them to whisper forest fire. For ass wedgie, I'd let them use their own language. For the end of the world, I tell them to use fuck again. And umbrella stand. What else I want? I want other things too. Big things, bigger things, things that have tits on them. Lots of tits. I like tits. What's wrong with that? It's perfectly normal for a guy to like tits. And I love them. And it doesn't make me a fag. Even if I like tits with big cocks on them. Huge, hard cocks. And I would suck the cocks with my mouth and ignore the tits that they're on top of. And if that makes me a fag, my friend, then I will suck your cock. Please let me suck your cock!
Billy? You seem distant. Are you okay?
I'm fine, sweetheart.
Talk to me. You have to talk to me.
I'm fine. I don't want to put this on you.
Billy, you said you love me. If you do, you better tell me what's going on with you.
You know I'm shipping out next week. In 10 days, I'll be in Baghdad. Who knows what can happen there?
Nothing is gonna happen to you. Do you hear me?
There's just so much I want to do with you.
We have our whole lives, baby.
Listen, if something does happen over there, if I get blown up by one of those terrorist bombs...
Billy!
If I'm lying on a stretcher and they're trying to keep me alive, I'll be thinking about you. And if they blow off my face and I can't see anymore, I'll be thinking about the first time I saw your face when you smiled at me in the mall. And if they blow off my hands, I'll think about the first time I held your hand and caressed your cheek. I'll even think about the first time I grabbed your boob.
Billy!
And if they blow off my legs, I'll think about the time we went skiing and I beat you all the way to the bottom. Then I stuck my hand on your ski pants.
Billy!
It's just, I want to experience everything I can with you in case, God forbid, one day I can't.
God forbid.
I mean, we fooled around a couple of times.
Yeah?
And it was great and really exciting. I wanted to do more, but you said you weren't ready, and I respected you even more for that.
Uh-huh.
The last thing I want to do is pressure you. Because like you said, we have our whole lives.
That's right, we do.
But if God should take me...
You shut your mouth, Billy.
I want to have something to hold on to in this world and the next.
Okay, Billy. I think I'm ready now. You can make love to me.
Good. Good. But only if you're sure you're ready.
I want you to. I'm ready.
Good. That's good. There's just one other thing I've never done before, and I'd kind of like to try it. You'll probably think it's disgusting.
What?
Well, while we're making love, I'd like to try to... Nah, it's too crazy.
Tell me.
I'd like to try to put myself in your other place.
What other place? Oh, you want to go in my...
It'll be something for me to hold on to while I'm all the way over there in Iraq.
But that would hurt.
I'd be gentle.
Billy, I don't know. Wow.
I know it seems silly, but I just can't stop thinking about it. I've never wanted to do it before with anyone else, but I'd really like to do it with you.
I don't know.
It's just, if I get my dick blown off over there, we may never get another chance to try it. If it hurts, I'll stop. Don't worry.
You have to promise.
I promise.
If it means that much to you, but you gotta go really slow.
Of course. Also, but only if you're okay with it.
What else?
And I promise to never show it to anybody.
Show what?
The DVD.
What DVD?
The DVD of us doing it. I'm gonna videotape it. Just for me, when I'm all the way over there, in Iraq.
I'd like to have that special moment with me to help keep me going when I'm getting shot at and all hell's breaking loose.
This is all happening so fast. First you want to be in my ass, and now you want to make a video of it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, God, I don't know.
It'll be fine, really.
I just need some time to think.
Well, while you're thinking, there's just one more thing.
What?
You remember Brian, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's going to Iraq, too.
So?
I kind of promised he could be the one to videotape us.
You promised him what?
It's not a big deal. Somebody's got to hold the camera. Besides, he's like my best friend, and he's kind of homesick already.
What?
And if you don't want him to join in, that's cool. But keep in mind, he's going over there for 2 years.
I don't care. That's disgusting.
Oh, one more thing. Your sister and your mom are pretty open-minded, right?
You're not suggesting that you want...
Only if they're into it. Besides, I got some stuff they can take to help them get in the mood.
If you or anyone you know has been pressured by a member of our armed services into having anal sex and videotaping it, please contact the Armed Services Sexual Abuse Hotline. And please tell us if it worked or not. And if it did work, please tell us exactly what he said that finally talked you into it. Or better yet, send the videotape to Norm Henderson, 435 Oak Grove, Cincinnati, Ohio, 54332. Thank you. And remember, Iraq is way the hell over there.
I'm coming! Sean? Oh, no, it's you, Julian.
Hello, Yoko. I'm sorry I barged in on you, but you told me to come by.
No problem, Julian. Come on in. No, I guess it's not a big deal. What the? Why are you here? Why you come to New York?
Well, I came by to pick up a few of my dad's things. You said on the phone I could, have a couple of his guitars.
Oh, that's funny. I said that? Really?
Yeah, you said, if I'm in New York to come by and, that my father would like me to have it.
Well, sure, your father. John's got a whole wall filled with the guitars. You take any one you like.
Thank you, Yoko. I'll just take this one.
Oh, but not that one.
Oh, sorry.
No, that one has a special meaning for me and John. We were there, at your mom's house banging each other, and he played that guitar for me. Nice. No, you take any other one you like, you take.
This one is nice. It's an old Rickenbacker. I think he played this one in Hamburg in 61.
No, don't take that one. That one never stay in tune. It's like, tuneless. I couldn't have you do that, You be frustrated trying to play the guitar. It's an awful guitar. That's a bad one. Seriously, I couldn't do that to you.
I don't mind. I could get it fixed.
No, too much trouble. No,
How about this one? I think he played this at Albert Hall for the Queen.
No, that one's too many holes in it.
It doesn't bother me.
Too many holes, Albert Hall holes. A hole to forget about it, You want to go swimming with that, it's going to sink it. It's not possible. I couldn't do that to you. No.
You do want me to have one of my father's guitars, don't you, Yoko?
Of course I do. You go out of your mind. Whatever,
Well, how about this one? This is the guitar he used at Candlestick Park, the Beatles' last concert.
Oh, come on. That's the last concert guitar. I want you to have a guitar, but now you're being greedy. The Beatles' last concert. Forget it. Woohoo, crazy.
How about this one, from the rooftop concert?
Oh, that one has nails in it. That guitar's holding up the entire wall. You take that building fall down. That's a wall guitar. You have liability insurance or something. The only way you get that one.
What about this one?
No. When Sean comes over, he likes to have his girlfriend play with it, Sometimes they eat on it, usually like a serving tray. Sorry, no.
This one?
No.
How about this one?
No.
This one?
No.
How about this one?
No.
Or this?
Don't touch that one.
This one?
No.
How about this one?
No.
This one?
No.
Or this one?
No.
This one?
No.
This one?
No.
How about this one?
No.
This one?
No.
This one?
No.
How about this?
No.
This one?
No.
This one?
No.
How about this one?
No.
This one?
No.
This one?
No.
How about this?
No.
If you don't want me to have one of my father's guitars, just say it.
No.
How about this one?
No.
How about this one?
No.
This one?
No.
Or this one?
No.
This one?
No.
This one?
No.
How about this one?
No.
This one?
No.
How about this one?
No.
This one?
No.
This one?
No.
This one?
Tell you what, I got this here. You can have this.
What is it? Looks like a bag of combs. And I think there's like a dreidel in there.
Yeah, you have it. Your father, he always say, oh, you know, one day if I ever get assassinated, that you give a make sure Julian gets all my combs and the dreidel. You make sure he come by, you give it to him so he happy. He can play with the combs and the dreidel. You know, like for Seder or whatever. You know, he goes to a friend's house if he dates a Jewish girl or whatever.
Yoko, this is humiliating. I'm going to leave.
No, don't leave.
All I wanted was a guitar. I mean, it's for my father. You've got 50 of them on the wall here. I mean, it's, you know, but look, I don't need it that badly. You're the one who suggested it.
All right, I feel bad. Okay, here. You take this one.
I'm leaving.
No, you stay, Joey, and don't leave. No, I got one out here in the closet. Oh, just let me get it out. Oh, it's here. It's a guitar. What's in here? It's in the closet. Okay, no. This guitar your father played while we did our first album together, Two Virgins. I want you to have it.
That's okay. I'm good.
I would have talked him out of taking it anyway. Mm-hmm.
All right, Ian Swain, the legend. It's great to have you in the studio. We're excited to have you record. I know it's been a while for you. You haven't recorded in many years. It's an honor to have you in our studio. Let's, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Thomas. It's so kind of you. I will give it my absolute best.
So, Ian Swain, take one.
So nervous.
Life
is lonely again. And only last year, everything seems so sure. Now life.
Ian. There was a noise on that one. You want to take that one again?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. My pleasure.
Sir Ian Swain, take two.
Life is lonely again, and only last year, everything seems...
Ian. We got another noise that time.
What kind of noise?
It's just a noise I heard again. The same one.
Could it have been the chair?
Yes, it could have been the chair, absolutely. Let's do another take, will we? Swain, the legend, take three. Would you like to take a break?
No, I'm fine. Why?
I just thought maybe, you take go to the loo or something, take a break, maybe have a glass of water, something like that. Does that sound, maybe just something you'd like to do? No, at least step outside, get some air, you know what I mean?
No, I'm absolutely fine. I feel just lovely. I'm ready to go.
Well, all right then. Let's just go for it then. All right. Swain? The legend, take four.
Life is lonely again, and only last year, everything seems so...
Oh, sorry, I think I did move the chair on that one. I think I did. I'm so sorry. I leaned forward, and I did feel the chair move a bit. I'm sorry, that's my mistake. I beg your forgiveness. Please, let's go again.
Are you all right in there?
I'm absolutely fine. I've never felt better, as a matter of fact. I'm so excited to be back in the studio. You have no idea what is an amazing opportunity for me it is to be able to record again.
Well, I just, all right, Sutty and Swain, take five.
Life is lonely again, and only last year, everything seems so...
I think we got it. No, we're absolutely fine. It was brilliant.
Was it really?
No, you haven't lost a step there. Absolutely beautiful. Lovely, lovely performance. I think I can put it all together there.
How could you have it? I haven't even gotten to the chorus.
No, I believe I can make it work without the chorus. Sans chorus, so to speak. No, it's a new thing they want to do.
I think I can get through it. All I need is a towel in here.
Choruses are overrated anyway. The new thing with the kids is no chorus. Just do one line, three or four times. Give a good fart sound and then live with it. Now let's all go to the pub and get a pint, and you definitely need a shower.
Hello, I'm Bill Tompkins, and you're listening to Satellite Radio Channel 3157, serving the Chula Vista, Imperial Beach, Mexicali, northern Tijuana, and southern parts of San Diego area. Today on the show, we'll be talking about virtual kidnapping. Not actual kidnappings, but virtual kidnappings that are all the rage in Mexico. Now, kidnapping in Mexico is big business, and here to talk about it is a man who only wants to go by the name of Pepe. Welcome, Pepe.
Hello, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Now, Pepe, you are a real kidnapper.
That's right, I am. I am the real thing. And I am offended by these phony guys claiming to be kidnappers when, in fact, they're not.
Tell us what's going on.
With pleasure, Bill. These people steal a cell phone or get an address book or something stupid like that, and then they get all these numbers. Then they find out if you got a kid or a spouse, and then they steal another cell phone, and then they call you on it and say that they got your relative when, in fact, they ain't got nobody.
So they just pretend to kidnap somebody?
That is correct. And it's disgusting. And it makes all us real kidnappers who really do the work look terrible.
So they call you up and they say they got who?
Yeah, they call up with a deep voice and they say, they got your kid, or some other bullshit.
Language.
I'm sorry, I'm just upset. And then they get somebody, you know, in the background, usually their sister or their brother, to start screaming or crying, Mama, Mama, please come get me, they got me. When in fact, it's all a scam, it's fake. And what happens is, then they ask for a bunch of stuff, jewelry, cash, Rolex watches, or other valuables. And these victims of the kidnap scam, they panic. I mean, who wouldn't? And a lot of times, these fake kidnappers get away with it.
So the virtual kidnappers actually get the ransom?
Yeah, sometimes they get the stuff. Enough times, obviously, because they keep doing it and no one is stopping them. When I call you from a stolen cell phone and say, I got your kid, I got your kid.
You are a real kidnapper.
I can't even believe we're talking about this. Of course I'm a real kidnapper. For two generations now, my father, my uncles, my family, we are all kidnappers. And we're proud to be kidnappers. These things really got me hot, Bill. We do the work. We go to the trouble of finding out where your kid is and where they go to school, or what time they come home, or where they go on the weekends, who their friends are.
Well, that sounds like work.
Yes, it is. And it takes time. And it takes people. Usually about two or three. And it takes money. I mean, you gotta pay for this stuff. Even your relatives, they're not gonna do it for free. And it takes something else, Bill.
And what's that?
Integrity. We real kidnappers are men of honor. When we say we got your grandson, we got him. In our possession. No joke. When we say, if you don't pay us in 48 hours, or we're going to send you a finger, we send you a finger. We're not going to send you a thumb, or an ear, or a piece of scalp, unless that's what we say we're going
to
do.
Okay. So what can people do to protect themselves from these scam artists, and how can they find out if they have a relative that's really been kidnapped?
Well, thank you for asking that. There is a lot of things people can do to protect themselves from these fake kidnappers and differentiate from the real, hardworking kidnappers like myself.
Please, tell us.
Okay. When you first get the call, everybody panics. I mean, because the guy on the other phone is claiming to have someone you care about. So it's natural to be panic-stricken a little. You got to keep your head. Ask to talk to the victim. Now, the real kidnapper, with nothing to hide, except his location, of course, is going to put the relative on the phone for a few seconds. The phony kidnapper will not. And if they try to pull some BS, like, you know, you can't talk to anybody until we get the money, then there's more than a good chance you got a phony kidnapper on your hands.
What else should they do?
Well, before you pay any ransom, get on the phone and make some calls, okay? If it's your kid, call the school and see if your kid is in school. Check your kid's friend's house or just call them. It's the simplest thing. You'd be surprised how many people who were supposedly kidnapped were just shopping.
So people should call the victim first.
Absolutely. Instead of panicking and crying, call, find out if it's the real thing. And then if it's the real thing, then you can cry and panic all you want to your heart's content.
Let's take some calls. Francisco, you are a gardener in Pasadena.
Yes. I've been the victim of one of these scams. I was living in Mexico City at the time, and I get a call saying that my brother has been kidnapped, and to put my Rolex watch in a bag with some cash and leave it at the bus station where I live. So I did this. And then later, I found out that my brother was not kidnapped at all. He was at a soccer match.
Did you try calling him?
No, I did not.
That is what I'm talking about. We have to educate people, Bill.
Let's take another call. Steve in San Diego.
Let me get this straight. You kidnap people.
Yes, I do.
Well, you are a cretin and a dirtbag.
That is your opinion.
You're damn right it is, and you disgust me.
Let me ask you a question. Do you work for a living?
Yes, I do. I'm a carpenter.
Okay, you have your job, carpenter. I have my job, kidnapper. Where do you work, by the way, Steve?
I'm not telling you. You're a kidnapper.
How do you know I don't already know where you work? Huh? Now, let me ask you another question. Are you a real carpenter or a phony carpenter?
I'm a real carpenter.
Okay, because with that attitude, you sound like a phony carpenter. And let me tell you something else. You better not let me find out where you work, because you're going to be in a hole for 6 months, eating nothing but your own scrotum. Okay, you're going to wish you were back in your mother's womb, you piece of human garbage.
Pepe, yeah, please.
If I see you on my street, buddy, it's adios, amigo.
Okay, try to take it easy.
Okay, carpenter, you better watch your back, huh? Next time the gardener comes by, you're not going to know if it's me or what.
Oh, bring it on right now, Beaner.
Beaner?
Let's see what you,
you
got.
You little chicken.
Pepe, please. Pepe, please. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
And now the guy with the sexy black voice goes to the car wash.
You see, my car is filthy. I've been eating at the Colonel, and sometimes I forget to throw that shit away. Which is why my car smells like a Kentucky fried asshole. So that's why I'm driving to your car wash. So you can fix that shit, bitch. But I gotta be honest. Getting the smell out ain't gonna be easy. Cause I eat that shit every day. That's right.
Okay, senor. Well, we have the ultimate car wash. It's a full-service car wash. It's got the polish wax. It's got the sealer wax. It takes care of the undercarriage, which is with a rust inhibitor. And we do the custom wheel cleaner. It's got the air freshener included, plus the mats are brushed and cleaned. All of that for $26.95, senor.
Wow. You see, I was thinking about giving your ass less. A fucking lot less.
Okay, well, for $21.95, we got the Super Protection Car Wash. It's also a full-service wash with a soft cloth. It's got a polish wax, a sealer wash, and we still take care of the undercarriage. It's got with the rust inhibitor, $21.95, senor. We can be done about 30 minutes.
I don't think you get it. My car ain't even worth half that shit. Something must be wrong with your Mexican hearing, because I got like $3 in my pocket. And if you want that shit, you better give me a better price, or I'm gonna get out of my car and beat your fucking Mexican ass. That's right.
Senor, we got the automatic car wash drive-thru. It's an express car wash. It's $5, senor. It's all I can do.
I got $3 in my pocket.
I don't know, senor. I guess you can go to someone's house and borrow their hose and give it a good rinse, and maybe some of that bird shit will come off, but I can't make you any promises.
I'm just gonna drive through your car wash and see if any of you motherfuckers can try and stop me.
Pedro, Juan, Jorge, Jesus. Hey, this fucking asshole here is giving me shit. He don't wanna pay for nothing.
What's his shit? Huh? He no pay. Yeah.
Well, okay. I guess I'm leaving. But only because there's like 90 of you Mexican motherfuckers.
Hey, que pasa, maricón?
Kill you, you son of a bitch.
That guy over there holding the tire iron. I'm allergic to tire irons.
Pinche bendejo. Oh, no. Pinche cocksucker.
Bendejo.
Pinche negro.
Boquerones fritos.
Shit. I'm just gonna borrow somebody's hose. That wasn't a bad idea. But I'm gonna wait till nighttime. That's right. That's right. That's right.
The perfect shit. The idea of the perfect shit is not a new concept. It has long been a subject of debate, fermenting in the minds of wise men since recorded time. While the perfect shit conjures up a lot of thought, a few simple truths remain beyond argument. However, these facts have more to do with what a perfect shit should not be, and they are as such. A perfect shit should not tear apart your asshole as it leaves your anus. The perfect shit should not be too jagged or coarse, which might cause rips and/or chafing. It should not be lopsided and uneven, so as one half would exit the body much later than the other half and make for an awkward dump. It should not be so wide and overly thick and bulbous as to remain uncomfortably trapped up your ass and have to be removed manually. The turd should not be exceedingly long and thereby never actually leaving the body, forcing you to lean forward and lift yourself off the seat and give a good shake. A good shit should never be mostly water. It should not explode from your anus, causing unnecessary splashing of toilet water on the genitals. But enough of what a perfect shit is not. Okay, just a few more things. A perfect shit shouldn't be more than 3 hours in duration, making your legs fall asleep and affecting overall circulation. Any crap that causes plumbing failure also fits in the same category. A shit that exits at an odd angle and ends up between the seat and water tank can be considered a complete disaster. Ideally, a perfect shit should be one or a series of relatively small, solid, and smooth torpedo-shaped droplets, not larger than a Nokia cell phone. Shit preferences change with the region or climate. In Southeast Asia, for example, it's the small, egg-shaped cylindrical poops that are most fancied and prized. In the arid mountainous region of Peru, they prefer a good, clean, gritty, dry dump, almost dust-like in texture and appearance, and taste. In Ecuador, it's almost the complete opposite, a real mess. In Italy, the most desired stool shape is a medium-sized chocolate almond biscotti. Oddly enough, in South America, particularly in Brazil around Carnival time, a painfully huge banana-shaped crap is seen as a blessing for the new year. In the former Soviet Union, if you have a good shit every other day with minimal bleeding, you are considered lucky and spry, and the envy of all your former communists. In Mexico, if you shit more than 9 times a day, you are considered a visitor and in danger of losing citizenship. Age also alters our perception of the perfect bowel movement. As a child, any shit is a good shit. As an old man, any shit is bad if it is in the middle of the night. For a woman, the perfect shit has less to do with the shit itself and more the time and place. For instance, a woman could have a perfect kiwi-sized projectile or two delicately pinched out of her asshole. But if it's on a first date and it's at the boyfriend's parents' house, and if the bathroom is within earshot of the rest of the family, it can be considered a most imperfect shit. Also, for a woman, any shit at night while camping can be called a nightmare crap. Enough of this! I gotta take a shit.
You know, I always thought I'd be a good agent for porn stars. I think I'd be good at it.
Yeah. She'll do the celery stick up her ass.
She's gonna do that?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, sounds like we got it all worked out.
All right, then. What time's
she getting? Yeah, just one more thing.
What's that?
How many cocks are we talking?
14.
Wait. That's a lot of cocks.
What do you mean that's a lot of cocks?
Well, I just didn't know it was gonna be that many cocks.
Hey, we went over this. What are you talking about?
Bob!
Hey, wait a second. She's done it
Bob,
many times.
I gotta go back to my client. And I gotta tell her she's gotta suck 14 cocks.
That's right.
I'm gonna look like an idiot.
She's done it many times.
But I know.
Yeah.
But that was 2 years ago. I'm still getting hell for that one.
I know, but this time I've
That was that a special
situation.
Deal.
Let me tell you something, man.
Besides, half those guys she'd blown before.
That's not my friend.
Well, the other half were clients of mine.
You want this thing to work out?
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
Yes, of course I want this deal to work out. You know I do. We both do.
You create the situation.
But, Bob, that's a lot of cocks.
I don't care how many cocks it is. She doesn't care.
But I'm not saying 14 cocks is a deal buster.
You better not, because that's the way we talked about before.
I'm getting her the same deal for a straight dildo shower scene with no anal.
Well, I can get somebody else who can get things.
I know you can get somebody else. But the reason you're still talking to me is you want my client to go down on all those guys.
Right.
Well, give me a number.
1500.
Is that cocks or dollars?
Cocks. And dollars.
Both?
Both.
But she's not going to do the sideways steamer.
What do you mean? She's got to do that too.
Well, she did that last...
I don't care. That's part of it.
She did that last movie with that Haitian and she got that nasty infection in her eye. Well, that's out.
But that's not my situation. That's her thing.
Okay, seriously, how much?
$1,500.
She can do that with her eyes closed. Or open, if you want.
Well, open, of course you want it open. You're going to look like she's having a dead body or something out of your mind.
She can look right into their eyes, if you want.
Or
into the camera.
Right.
Okay, sounds like we're getting closer to a deal here. All right,
we
okay.
We have a deal, then.
Okay, now what time do you need her there?
9:30.
Well, 9:30 is going to be a problem.
Why is 9:30 a problem?
Well, she's got another gig.
Well, how the hell could she have another gig?
Calm down.
Hey,
we're not just sitting around waiting for your call. Take it easy.
I don't have to deal
That's not fair. She's not going to be all worn out in every orifice by the time she gets to your film.
Yes, she is.
She's a professional. She's been doing this a long, long time.
What are you talking, a long, long time?
Well, not that long. As a matter of fact, she's not long at all. She's a relative newcomer. It's just an expression. I'm saying she's a pro, that's all. Besides, makeup can cover most of that.
Makeup? We don't provide makeup.
You're not going to have makeup?
Of course not going to have makeup. What the hell are you talking about?
Well, she can do her own makeup.
She can do her own stuff.
She does it all the time.
All right. What else we know?
Okay, now the last thing we got to talk about is billing. She's the star.
Yeah, but no, Steve Strong's the star.
He does not in any way deserve to share the billing or even have his name next to Shandarika.
He's a star.
Chandarika's a living legend.
I don't give a shit.
People masturbate to her all over the world.
Steve Strong's one of his fans.
Steve Strong is a fag.
Let me tell you something, pal.
I've seen his work. Believe me, he's got nothing to brag about. And I know in his spare time he does fag work. He does.
You watch that stuff?
Well, yeah, I don't own those pornos, but I've seen it.
Yeah, you do.
It's my job.
You're a big fag. You're up there whacking it off, and you should be working on a deal. I tell you, I don't have to take that shit from you. And he's the one paying for it.
I didn't realize that.
Okay.
And I guess you can have his name up there if he wants.
Okay, that's what we're talking about.
I'll tell you one thing. I just hope those other 13 guys go first.
Satellite Radio Channel 2071, the station that caters to the greater North Miami-Dade County and Biscayne Bay Area. I'm your host, Jerry Cummings. Now, today we'll be talking with a convicted sex offender who, along with four other sex offenders, has been forced to live under a bridge because of a new Miami-Dade County ordinance prohibiting sex offenders from living near schools, parks, or places where children gather. I'm guessing the five of you are none too happy about having to live under a bridge.
That's right. It's inhuman. And I can assure you, nobody would be happy to live under a bridge. Why register as a sexual offender if they're going to treat you this way? I mean, they don't treat bank robbers that way, do they? I mean, who's next?
I understand that you don't want to reveal your name, so I'll just refer to you as Bob Smith.
Well, that is my name, Bob Smith, but go ahead, cat's out of the bag.
Sorry, you are a convicted sex offender, and now you're living under a bridge.
Forced to live under a bridge.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You are a convicted sexual offender for lewd and lascivious conduct involving a girl under 16.
Yeah, that's right, but I'm registered. I mean, I'm not some sex offender out there on the lam. I'm registered, Jerry. I mean, a lot of guys out there are not registered. I'm not one of them.
Okay, you are a registered sexual offender.
Thank you.
Now, because of this ordinance prohibiting sexual offenders...
Registered?
Yes, prohibiting registered sexual offenders like yourself from living any place children gather, you now live under a bridge.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. The law is so vague. I mean, first of all, almost any place is a place where children could gather. I mean, they can go to a park, a strip mall, a Walmart store, the library, a gas station, Carl's Jr. I mean, where am I supposed to go? I mean, I'm not asking to live next to a children's playground. That's what got me into trouble in the first place. I mean, but this law is too much.
So tell me, what is it like for you to live under a bridge?
Well, first of all, it's stressful. I mean, you know, people drive over the bridge at all hours of the night. I mean, I don't know where these people are going at 3 a.m, but they're keeping me up, I can tell you that. You know, it's damp because, you know, you're over water, and what if I sleepwalked? I mean, I could drown. Is that fair? I don't think so. And frankly, with all the publicity, I'm afraid some crazy person who hates sex offenders could come out here and try to do something stupid. I mean, we're defenseless out there. We may be sex offenders, but hey, we're still human beings.
Well, Bob, you have to realize there are a lot of people out there who don't like sex offenders, registered or otherwise.
Look, I realize that. I made a mistake a couple dozen times, and I'm paying for it, believe me. I got 3 years of probation for this last time. That's 36 months. That means every Tuesday, no matter what else I have to do that day, I got to go see some guy and check in. I mean, that's every Tuesday, and I got to take the bus to get there.
As a sex offender, you are not allowed to drive a car?
No, I got a DUI. It's my second time, and there was an underage girl in the back. I was set up. I mean, if you tell me that girl looks 15, I'll eat this chair, Jerry.
Well, let's take some phone calls. Carl from Miami.
You sick son of a bitch! Please tell me where that bridge is so I can blow it the fuck up and kill all you sick bastards. You disgust me, you fuck.
You see, right there, Jerry, that's the kind of hate we sexual offenders have to deal with every day. They don't cut us any slack.
Let's take another call. Tom from South Beach.
All I have to say is living under a bridge is too goddamn good for you. You should be living under the freeway, covered in cement, you motherfucking sick pig deviant fuck.
He who is without sin cast the first stone. Apparently some people out there don't read their Bible. That's why I gotta sleep with one eye open, Jerry. Because of crazy people like that. It's just hate. You know, I could understand if I wasn't registered, but I am. You know, they'd all be happy as a clam if I lived the rest of my life under that bridge.
We have time for one more call. This is Don from Miami.
As a registered sex offender, I am appalled that five registered sex offenders are being forced to live under a bridge.
Don, did you say you were a registered sex offender?
Yes.
Yeah, he's one of the guys who lives with us under the bridge.
Why bother registering as a sex offender if they're going to treat you this way? They don't make bank robbers live under a bridge.
I already mentioned that, Don.
I mean, who's next? Watch your back, that's all I'm saying.
Is everything okay down there, Don?
Yeah, some kids threw some rocks again.
Is everyone okay?
They got Bill a couple of times. He's a little woozy. He'd be all right.
That's all the time we have for today on Channel 2071. We hope you'll join us tomorrow, where we'll be talking to high school students who have slept with their school janitors.
Oh, Mr. Gregson, please have a seat.
Please call me Kevin.
Oh, very well, Kevers. Well, let me guess. You would like us to help you keep track of all your lies.
Yes, please.
Good, because that's what we do. We're our full-service falsehood support system corporation. We will make sure with a money-back guarantee that every lie and omission you make will be thoroughly mapped out and organized and easily checked 24 hours a day to keep you from getting tripped up by loved ones and or co-workers. We're the Liar Corp. So what can I do for you?
Well, you see, last night I told my wife I was going out to the store to get some batteries.
And you were really going out to meet the woman you're having an affair with. Okay, it's pretty simple what to do here. All I need to know is what you told your wife.
No,
you're having an affair with a man. That's okay. We pride our firm in not being judgmental to any sexual deviation.
No, I'm not having an affair with a man either.
As I said, Mr. Gregson, we are not here to judge you. We are here to help you with your lies and lie management. Now, what is your gay lover's name?
I'm not a homosexual.
Not curious at all?
No.
Never been in the men's gymnasium and had a little look around?
No, not at all.
You've never been to a public pool in a Speedo and checked out other Speedos?
I'm not lying, it's just, I don't know why you keep thinking I'm a homosexual.
Never go to a public urinal to see what's shaking?
No.
Come on, Kevin. Never thought about it, not even once?
No. Gross.
Everything you tell us is completely confidential. So, you're having gay sex in every orifice, and you don't want your wife to find out. It's perfectly understandable.
No! Look, I'm not gay!
Whoa, Kevin, it's me you're talking to. I'm not your wife. You don't have to lie to me. I'm trying to help you from getting caught lying. Honest.
Look, I'm not gay. I was just going out to make a phone call, not have gay sex.
You don't have to prove anything to me. We're not here to question your manhood. We're here to help you lie. That's all. Swear to God.
It's my wife's sister, Caroline. She's been going through a terrible divorce, and I didn't mean for anything to happen.
What's your wife's brother's name?
Ian, but he's nothing to do with this. It's her sister, Caroline. Like I said, it was just something that happened, a lapse of judgment and control.
So last night, where did you and this Ian guy go for your crazy, filthy gay sex?
Are you insane?
Very good, Kevin. Very convincing. Rule number one in the lying manual. Convince the person you're lying to that they're losing their mind. You need to use the same conviction with your wife, so she never finds out you're giving strange men handjobs.
You're a crazy person.
Good, good. She's gonna buy that.
Look, it's not her brother. It's her sister that I'm having an affair with. And I think I'm in love with her. But I've got children. It's complicated.
Sure it's complicated. What would you like us to do?
Well, until I could figure out what to do, I could use some help covering my tracks. I mean, I can't stop seeing her.
Well, this shouldn't be too hard. First off, you've got a lot going in your favor. A spouse very rarely, if ever, suspects her husband of sleeping with her own brother and the family dog and of giving hand jobs to every homeless man he comes into contact with. And if she ever brings it up, it's pretty easy to convince her she's nuts. What's your dog's name?
This is ridiculous.
Very nice. Laughter and mocking is an excellent form of denial. You're a natural, Kevers. You should be teaching me.
I think I've made a terrible mistake coming here.
Pity and resignation is also a good move. Excellent.
Are you completely mad?
Fabulous. Going from pity back to attacking and accusing. Awesome.
That's it. I'm leaving.
Excellent. Threaten abandonment.
This has been
actually getting up and heading for the door. Sweet.
You should be ashamed of yourself taking advantage of people who are suffering from hardship.
Yes, yes. Before you leave, diminish her humanity. Leave them guilt-ridden. Wonderful.
Really? Honestly?
Absolutely amazing. Fantastic.
Would you like to have a drink with me?
I'd love nothing more.
Welcome to the jungle. The following is information for the proper way for a Colombian woman to eat your asshole. When having your asshole eaten by a Colombian woman, there's a couple of things that should be kept in mind. One is time. Allow yourself a good hour. That's about how long it takes for a good ass eating. Two is the place. You're going to need a comfortable place to have your asshole eaten. A feather bed or large goose down pillow should suffice. That's what I use when I have my asshole eaten. The next thing is relax. You're about to have your asshole eaten. Also, before you have your asshole eaten by a Colombian woman, you might want to learn a little Spanish. You might want to find out the Spanish equivalent to things such as, "Ow, that hurts," or, "I'm in severe pain, you may have torn something," or, "Good God, I had no idea that was possible, what have I been missing?" Or, you might want to stick to the standards, such as, "Andale, faster," "Andale, andale, faster, faster," or just the simple, "Gracias." Gracias for eating my asshole. Muchos gracias, many thanks. Bueno is another good all-purpose word. Nacho is not. If I may, I'd suggest stretching very well the night before. You'll need to be limber to have your asshole eaten. The average Colombian woman will try to shove your legs high up into the air and try to get them behind your ears. Don't be alarmed. This is a good sign. She's signaling you that she's trying to get into position. In position to eat your asshole. Now might be a good time to try out some of that Spanish you've been practicing. Throw in a bueno or two, or just stick to the old gracias. Now, if you're flexible enough, the Colombian woman might want to make eye contact with you. Under no circumstances make eye contact with a Colombian woman when she's eating your asshole. She'll take this as a sign that you might want to elevate your asshole eating experience and start using other tools. It's a bad idea. Trust me, I've been there. Sometimes when it's really damp outside and the humidity is high, I still get a little woozy. Each Colombian woman is different. Mine likes it fast and counterclockwise, with the odd deep tongue thrust thrown in once in a while just to help sober me up. I say don't plan too much. You'll want your asshole eating experience to seem spontaneous, even though you've been planning this for many months. About 50 minutes in, you might have a leg go numb on you. Chances are she's sensing it too. Usually she'll start punching the cramped area 30 or 40 times and you'll be back in business. The business of having your asshole eaten. You'll know it's about over when the Colombian woman gets up and positions herself to have her asshole eaten. Now here's the tricky part. Getting up and leaving without having to eat her asshole. Try to quickly change the subject. Start asking her how to say things in Spanish. Make sure to seem overly interested in everything. What's Spanish for pillow? How do you say good morning again? Keep them coming, fast and furious. As fast and furious as she was eating your asshole. As you ask more questions, slowly move off the bed and go into another room. Try to lock the door. Start screaming for help. Please help! Please God, don't make me eat your asshole! Hopefully you've chosen a room with a strong door. Trust me, she's gonna want in there. Try to calm her down. Tell her to relax, to take it easy. Tell her you have every intention of coming out and eating her asshole. You just need to freshen up first, say. After all, you've just had your asshole eaten for almost an hour. Who wouldn't need some time to regroup? As a matter of fact, try that one on her. She may buy it. By the next morning, she will have calmed down considerably or have left. Either way, you're halfway home. Open the door swiftly and confidently. Apologize for spending the night in there.
I'm sorry about that.
Try not to make a big deal of it.
Oh, come on.
Make it seem like she's exaggerating the whole situation.
Can't be serious.
Then make your way into the next room. Tell her how beautiful she looks this morning. Mucho bonita. Then slowly take off your pants. Now here comes the real tricky part. Trying to get the Colombian woman to eat your asshole all over again. Mucho bonita, indeed.
Hello, I'm Rob Schneider, and I'd like to apologize to any parents whose underage children bought this CD and are about to hear the term Sea of Jizz for the first and hopefully last time. We did put a warning label on this CD, but we realized that even with warning labels, sometimes...
Captain!
What is it, Yeoman?
A strong wind is blowing the ship. I'm afraid we're way off course, sir.
How far off course, Yeoman?
Very far, sir.
Really? How far?
Very, very far, sir.
Just exactly how fucking far off are we?
I'm afraid to say, sir.
If you don't tell me right this very moment, I'll have you branded in irons.
Captain, I'm afraid we drifted into the Sea of Jizz.
The Sea of Jizz? How far into it are we?
Very far, sir. We're practically in the middle of the Sea of Jizz.
So you're telling me that we're in the middle of the Sea of Jizz? Will you stop that racket?
This could get messy.
What? What? I didn't even say it that time.
Okay, we find ourselves in a sea of jizz. But we're halfway through. I don't see any reason why we can't make it all the way through.
No one's ever made it through
the
sea of jizz, sir. Oh.
Well, let's just try to get through this sea of, you know.
Ensign, tell the crew to put on some clothing they don't mind throwing away later.
Captain! Man overboard!
Are you quite sure?
Yes, Captain. It's Williams. He fell off the starboard side. Shall I give the order to bring a ship round?
Not just yet.
But, sir, Williams is out there drowning in a sea of jizz!
Yes, but I mean, how do we know he fell? He could have jumped.
How's that, sir?
Well, maybe he leaped in of his own volition. To, I don't know, go for a swim.
Go for a swim? In jizz? Oh, I don't think so, Captain. That's disgusting.
Okay, that's one interpretation. Jameson?
Oh, yes, sir.
You were best friends with Williams.
I wouldn't say best friends. I mean, we shared a bunk. If by sharing a bunk you mean best friends, then I guess so.
Would you say he was a strong swimmer?
He's got big arms, sir.
Well, big arms. There you go. I like his chances.
Oh, he did tell me he liked to go water skiing.
Well, there you have it. Obvious to me that Williams deliberately jumped off the boat of his own volition to go water skiing.
Oh, my God! It's the monster!
Sir, straight ahead! The monster! He's whacking it pretty hard!
Yeah, there he is, the monster. And he is whacking it, as you say.
Sir, if he goes off, we're done! We're all dead men! He'll drown the ship!
Okay, that's one interpretation.
Hello, gentlemen. My wife and I want to thank you for coming over this evening. Honey, the guys from the Adult Friend Finder are here.
That's nice to meet you.
How are you?
Come on in, guys. Just relax a second. You both know why you're here. To fuck my wife. Something we both have been looking forward to, and it's something my wife and I will always have to think about, get turned on by, and mutually masturbate over. Especially because of the black gentleman, Rashid. Thank you also for signing the non-disclosure form and agreeing to let us videotape this so my wife and I can relive this moment whenever or wherever we want. The envelopes of cash are on the table for when you finish, hopefully on or about the same time on my wife's face. Okay. Honey, if you'd be so kind as to disrobe so these gentlemen can get a better look at you. That's it. Nicely done. Grab a boob. There's one for each of you. Okay, honey, take both their dicks out and start sucking. Wow, look at the black guy. That was more than I was expecting. How about you, honey? I don't know what you're gonna do with all that, but I'm sure you'll figure something out. Well, all right, you got both of them there in your mouth. Interesting. I don't know how the guys feel about their peckers actually touching each other like that. That would freak me out. They don't seem to be bothered by it.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay, there goes their pants. Now it's gonna get interesting. Okay, she's bending over waiting for it. Which one of you guys is gonna go first?
Shit.
Okay, it's the black guy. Hey, wait. Hey, what's going on there?
Huh?
What do you think you're doing?
What?
Your foot.
Huh?
Well, your foot's on the couch. That's an imported cotton twill couch. I had to special order it. So watch the dirty foot, okay? All right. That's it, honey. Grab his thing and get him hard again. Yeah, slap it against her ass.
Yeah. Oh, that's it.
Hey, whoa. Oh. What is happening here? Watch the foot. Your sweaty foot is getting on my couch.
Oh, yeah. Thought about the foot.
Now, look. Stop fucking my wife for a second. Now, I am more than happy to have you guys here to fuck my wife in every way imaginable, but I cannot have you guys ruining my $4,000 couch by getting your feet all over it. And there's got to be a way for both you guys to have sex with my wife, turn me on, and not ruin my couch. That's all I'm saying.
Do you want me to use this?
Yeah, use the towel. That's what it's there for. Now, honey, don't encourage him. If you would just lower your ass, then Rashid wouldn't have to use his foot to get leverage. There we go. That's what I'm talking about. Two guys fucking my wife and my couch not getting ruined. That is hot. All right, honey, turn over and switch with the white guy. I don't want you to be all ruined before the white guy has a chance to get in there.
Well, thank you.
All right, let her have it. Yeah, lift those legs up and push them behind her ears. Honey, I had no idea you were that limber. Oh, yeah. Hey, don't wipe your cock off on the couch. That's what the towel is for. I thought we went over this.
Do you want us to go in the bedroom?
No, I don't want you to go in the bedroom. The lights and the camera are already set up here. Besides, I don't want your feet getting on my bed either. Hey, look, now your foot's on the pillow. Those are also special order. That's Egyptian silk. You know how hard it is to get cum stains out of Egyptian silk? What am I going to say to my dry cleaner? All right, now I'm losing my boner. Let's try to concentrate on fucking my wife and watching where we put our feet. Can't be that hard.
Oh, fuck yeah. That's it. Fuck yeah.
Hi, Dad.
Hey, yeah.
Mom! Oh, my God!
Brian!
Dad!
Son!
What's happening? Mom! What are you doing?
Son, I can explain.
Who are these strange men?
Well,
Mom! You're having sex with two strange men on our couch!
I'm sorry.
That's our couch!
Brian!
I play video games on that couch! That's a nice couch! I eat on that couch!
Look, your mom and I...
Mom! Not on our couch!
Protect your couch with the new Liberty Couch polyurethane cover. Or next time, just make both the guys who are fucking your wife wear socks. That's what I do.
Oh, Mom!
Should I put my pants back on?
Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 2010, congratulations. If I could offer you a tip for the future, don't plan too far ahead. The Mayan calendar ends in 2012, so you have a little less than 2 years before the world implodes and all your hopes and dreams with it. But just in case the Mayans were wrong, which they weren't about anything else, I've got some advice for you. Floss. And when you get a big hunk on your floss, go back to that same tooth and floss it again. There's probably another hunk or two down there, or maybe even three, or a wad of pubic hair. Trust me, I've been there. If you're gonna sleep with someone you don't know very well, wear a condom, at least the first time. Then just be spontaneous and see what happens. You'll find without a condom, it feels way better. Call your parents, especially when you need money. You'll miss them when they're gone, especially their money. Enjoy your youth and your young bodies. And every once in a while, let other people enjoy your young bodies as well. Older people, people who don't work out and who don't have such nice young bodies, like me. Put your tits on the internet. Oh, come on. Don't be so selfish. No one will find out. For a while. Learn a good fake laugh. It'll serve you well. Especially when you're hanging out with really boring people. Like your teachers. Your friends are a reflection of you. The truth is, you'll only keep in touch with a few of them. So look around right now at all your classmates and pick the best looking ones. Or at least the ones who are most likely to show their tits on the internet. You'll be glad you did. Maybe you'll get married. Or maybe you won't. Or maybe you will and wish you hadn't. Maybe you should just meet someone you like and give them half your possessions right now. Save yourself time and cut out the middleman. Maybe you'll marry a one-legged old whore and have to pay her $86 million. Maybe your name is Paul McCartney. Or maybe it isn't. Or maybe you'll marry a very controlling Asian woman and lose all your friends. Or maybe you're smarter than both those guys. Remember, when a girl says no, she means no. Most of the time. She really means no about the 18th time when you're getting tasered repeatedly. In class of 2010, when the SWAT team comes, put the gun down. Those fuckers are serious.
Okay, honey. Take both their dicks out.
Sorry. Okay, here's part two. Okay.
This has been Album Filler.